League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station,
which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Cypress Trail Hideout. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back into an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry out in El Paso doing comedy. Cody Stutes, my boy, in. Nick back at the studio. Tyler keeping us on the air here. And if you want to know where here is, it's Cypress Trail Hideout. It's 25610 Hempstead Road. It is a big weekend out here, and you should be here. Of course, we should be the lure that gets you here on a Friday because we are broadcasting here. Charlie Polillo is taking selfies and signing autographs until God knows till the food runs out. And, of course, the Blitz after us will take us till 7 o'clock. So come on by, see us, and hang out. The weather's outside is bad, so inside, everything's great out here at Cypress Trail Hideaway, Hideout, including the barbecue from Papa Charlie's. But, of course, the weekend is going to be filled with all kinds of activities. Tomorrow, two bands, first annual crawfish boil on the patio all day, live music, mud bugs, everything that's going on inside and outside. It's going to be a fantastic environment. Of course, Sunday for Cinco de Mayo, you have to be here because they have a queso competition. It's free to join. Bring your crock pot and your appetite. And, of course, you get thirsty. Lots of beverages out here. But come on out. Hang out. Get involved. And, of course, they're going to have margarita specials, Mexican beer available for you. But celebrate your Cinco de Mayo out here as well. Make it a whole weekend at Cypress Trail Hideout. It is the place to be. We're telling you, we're having a good time here. You should be here, too. We were just getting done talking about some baseball, but I want to get back to this. You teased it, and I'm interested to pick your brain on where you're going with this.
So I put this on the sheet.
I don't know what you're talking about with the sheets or the pillowcases, but I'm telling you right now, what you threw out there was
the doc.
You had a hot take on the Rockets.
Yes.
They need more than that, but I'm interested on what your hot take might be, my friend.
To me, the Rockets have done something that I thought was unthinkable in these playoffs.
Stink? That badly?
No. The Rockets have somehow overtaken the Warriors as the most unlikable team left in the playoffs.
See, here's where I don't think you get this. They already had that title. This is the thing that I found out when I was working in the NBA, and I found out even more so now because of my friends still in the NBA. Outside of the Houston area, because obviously I'm still a firm believer in this team, and I like a lot of the pieces they have on this team.
Right.
I found out, and it started when I was in the league, and visiting teams, broadcasters would come through town. And I had someone offer it up to me, so then I offered it up as like a poll question. Someone came to me and said, how do you deal with James Harden and your team on a night? I go, I love this team. What are you talking about? They're like, no, next to Blake Griffin, our city, our team, our fan base hates the Rockets more than anybody. I was like, come on, man, really? I heard it in Portland. I heard it in L.A. I heard it in a lot of different places. I'm like,
and this was a couple years ago.
Right?
It's only gotten worse.
So then I have friends that I still stay in contact with the league. I go, is it still that way? They're out there on Facebook putting it out there going, because of, like, say, for instance, the Lillard-Westbrook thing, the poll question from a Blazers employee came out and said, has the Thunder, because of this series, surpassed James Harden and the Rockets as the most hated opponent that the Blazers – I go, whoa, wait a minute, seriously? And they're like, dude, you have no idea. You're living in a bubble in Houston. I go, I didn't see it as being this bad.
Okay, maybe I approached it the wrong way then. People are actively rooting against the Rockets now. They were thought to be maybe the only hope we had at the Warriors' reign ending. And now people around the league, other fans, media members – And I wonder even if in the league office are actively rooting against the Rockets. They want the Warriors to stomp the Rockets.
Okay, let me ask you this. If that is indeed what you believe or what you're hearing or for whatever reason is out there, all right, is that because of the fact that James Harden's style of play is so difficult to accept?
No.
Is that because of the fact that they don't like that the Rockets – that James Harden is an unlikable guy because of all the different things that he does to be effective offensively. What are the reasons behind it?
I think it starts with the fact that the Rockets leak a league report that has been around for years that we haven't seen other
recently.
Teams. I understand that. But that, Joel, imagine if we heard about another team going to a league report, a league-specific report that is not made public. Imagine if we had another team in the NBA go through and count the James Harden fouls officials say they got wrong and then leak that to a media member to have that published in hopes to make that team look better. The Rockets put that out there to hope they would make them look better, and it made them look worse.
Oh, don't think that the timing wasn't set up with the controversies around game one.
It made them look so bad. That is a league report that should never be shown to the public that was leaked out there. You should be suspended for doing something like that. There should be an investigation into something like that. And I know people are going to say, just get the calls right, you don't have a problem. A team that has James Harden is complaining about missed calls and officiating benefiting the other team. And I understand that James has been officiated a certain way the entire year, and it gets to the playoffs and he's officiated a different way, and that doesn't seem fair, and that's why James Harden would say something like, I just want a fair chance. Yes, but you know every single year when you get to the playoffs, because the stats and the data tells you, you're not getting as many foul calls when the playoffs come around.
So, but here's the thing, and again, if I'm going to say that I would add credence to what you're saying, I would say, just think about when Steve Kerr, shall we say, accidentally, quote-unquote, let it leak out there that every time James Harden goes to a step back, it's a travel. And remember how Rockets fans reacted, right? And then remember that the fact that – and then Steve Kerr with his press conference with the gyrations of faking, you know,
sure,
and playing off Harden. That didn't sit well with Rockets fans.
I understand so that.
So that actually adds to what you're saying. But I'm saying, look, if you're drawing all of this just by a report that came out during this series – I would question the theory that the Rockets have surpassed the Warriors as a more hated team, simply because of the fact that up until this point, before that report came out, they're still underdog and they're still somewhat built the right way through trades and otherwise instead of creating a super team. But I also, as I started opening up this topic with you, brought to the attention of a lot of people don't like the way James Harden gets his points.
Sure.
A lot of people don't like the dribble for 19 seconds and you know, hog the ball, yo-yoing at the top of the key. So those things also sour them.
Sure.
So
sure.
For whatever the reason, I mean, I understand where you're coming from.
But think about this. Think about this. The Rockets are the main hope at ending the Warriors' reign this year.
But they're not the only team like a year ago.
I understand that.
Okay.
I understand. But they're the main hope, and in some people's eyes, maybe the only. Obviously, that's up to be
up
debated.
Up for discussion,
up for discussion. Okay. I have to imagine there are people. Look, true or false, the Warriors losing would be better for the NBA this season.
Oh, true.
True.
Absolutely.
I have to imagine there were people that felt that way and then saw what the Rockets did after game one and how they acted and then decided, I don't care if it's better for the NBA if they lose. I want the Rockets to lose now. They flipped their opinion, regardless of how much you dislike.
So you're
the
saying
Rockets.
This is recent that this happened? Because
yes.
I would tell you
people are acting like I
would tell you that the report just enforced what people were already thinking. Because a lot of people are already thinking what I said. They didn't like the way James got his points. They don't like the way he quote unquote manipulates the system. They don't like the style of play in which they play. There's no ball movement. You've heard
experts say
that. So maybe they were teetering on the fence, or they already had an opinion formulated. And that pushed them over the top. But I don't think the report at this time in the season pushed people over the top to now hate them more.
To me, my assessment of the situation is a previously unbiased individual and a large portion of previously unbiased individuals that were probably rooting for just whatever's good are now rooting against the Rockets. And maybe my main example, and maybe I'm putting too much weight into it, is a guy like Ryan Russillo. Ryan Russillo, very impartial. He'll give you an opinion, but ultimately how he approaches and analyzes basketball, very impartial. Has a podcast this week where he says, I want the Rockets to lose. They have embarrassed the NBA, and they have embarrassed themselves.
Why? Oh, the report?
The report.
Okay.
The report.
Because I wrote an article for SportsMap, and my whole feeling was, and I've been inside that organization, I have firmly said from ever since I've had a chance to express my feelings openly and honestly that Daryl spends way too much time worrying about what people think on blogs and social media. He shouldn't be on social media as much as he is because he just embarrasses himself with some of the things he says and does. And I said in regards to this report specifically, if you're going to do all of this and say that there were this many calls blown in Game 7, what about Game 1 through 6? What about the fact that you won Game 3 at home by 3 points? You won Game 4 at home by 4 points? If you do the same kind of due diligence, could there have been enough calls that would have altered the way that game ended and maybe Golden State wins one of those games instead? So why are you crying over spilled milk instead of worrying about what you need to do going forward?
Also, maybe we hit more than a couple of jumpers and don't miss 27 strikes.
And I said that as well in the article. At the end of the day, you can look at analytics all you want, or you can – and again, here's another thing. If you've created your own formula in-house that formulates how what translates to points out of those missed calls – there's no one with any kind of system, especially in the league office, that agrees with that, saying, well, if you miss this traveling call, that it's 1.3 points going forward for the Rockets. No, it's not.
To use an Astros example, all the formula that they use to analyze prospects, to analyze players on other guys' teams, they use it on their in-house guys to determine their own in-house value. I didn't see that the Rockets ran those same simulations for James's stats. Or any of the players.
So that's what I'm saying.
They went over a whole roster. Can you imagine how many times James would equal a roster's worth of that statistic? Like, he is helped out more than anyone in the NBA by the way this game is officiated.
Look,
and for them to cry about that is so embarrassing.
I think the report is awful, and I think, like I said, they strategically put it out when they did, the word that they had done this. And I said that, and I don't think they thought it through enough, which is another knee-jerk Daryl classic, where he doesn't think it through enough to say, well, are people going to say, why didn't you do that for the other six games? Are people going to say, why are you bringing that out now? Are people going to – he didn't think about all that. He thought, hey, here's a way that if we put this out right now, people are really going to side with us that we're getting screwed on calls. But instead, you're right. A lot of people are getting the opposite point of view.
Crybabies.
Yes.
And this is not – this is not a coach posturing for a small facet of the game. Phil Jackson.
I was going to say the Phil Jackson, Pat Riley.
Offensive fouls with Shaq.
Or with Michael Jordan saying he got beat up game one and you knew he was going to get every call game two.
Yeah, that's
just mental gamesmanship.
If the Rockets thought that was what was going to be, that was going to be the perception, then they had everything wrong on that situation.
Absolutely.
Everything wrong.
Well, if you guys want to chime in on that, we can get into more of this. 713-780-3776. Send us a text. Send us a tweet, and if you'd like to, you can even call in the show. But we're rolling along, and that's a pretty hot topic right now because heading into Game 3, dare I say it's a must-win for you Houston Rockets because teams don't come back from 3-0, especially against a team as good as the Golden State Warriors. Already an uphill climb if you got to win 4 out of 6, but if you got to win every game and can only afford to lose one more, you're probably already done. And then Mike D'Antoni, in my opinion, is firmly on a very, very hot seat this offseason. So we've got plenty more to get to, plenty to talk about, and we can continue to roll on with what's on your mind you want to get off your chest. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Up, take a hit, feeling lit, feeling like 2 a.m. summer night. I don't care, hand on the wheel, driving drunk, I'm doing my thing. ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Cypress Trail Hideout. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's true, though, man. Everybody in Houston did their part. Everybody pitched in. Everybody came. Well, everybody except Joel Osteen. F*** that dude. Joel. Fuck Joel, all right? I don't care. Yeah, that guy, yeah. Joel Osteen, but first of all, we should have known you don't trust anybody that talks to you with their eyes closed the whole time. and the Lord said, give me money. Like, you don't trust that guy. And Joel went from wanting to save everybody in Houston, and then that hurricane came, he was like, fuck it, save yourselves. We're closed. We are closed. Goodbye. People were out in front of the church like, let us in. He's like, I can't. I don't know why I can't, but I can't.
I just want Nick to save that clip, that F Joel part, because I hear that on a daily basis. I
mean, no,
so,
come on.
So that's, again, you are not without Barry today, because Barry's out in El Paso doing comedy. But Nick and I, and thanks to a listener who texted yesterday, went with a strong idea of featuring Barry as our comedian of the week, as Cody is filling in for Barry. But a lot of you guys hear him on the daily, but you don't hear his comedy. So we thought, hey, it's a good time to bring it up.
That's a good one, and
that's the one that everybody knows him for.
That's a really good bit, and I encourage you to see that one live, because as much as you can see the videos, just watching him do it, or as much as you can hear it, watching him do it is even more funny.
And the other thing that I would say about that is, it's really interesting when you see him do it in a different town. Because we knew what we experienced, so we really knew. But again, kind of like what you were talking about with the Rockets last segment,
yeah.
We have our own perception of our home team. We're in a bubble. We don't realize what it's like out there. So there were all these other cities where Barry travels to do comedy, even like El Paso this weekend, and you hear what – we know what we think of what Joel Osteen did. But when you know that it got so far that people in El Paso and in Oklahoma City and wherever else Barry's been – and to see how they react to it, and they laugh, and they get it because they understand it, then you're like, man, word travels fast.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, yeah, we've got one more clip coming up from Barry, but as you know, he's already got an album deal in place, so that'll be coming up.
Yeah,
he's got his 15 podcast, Sunday nights on Channel 2. He's on Jerome's show at 11:30 at night, so big things happening for Mr. Laminek, so we wish him always the best, and every chance we get, we'll promote the stuff he's got going on aside from the show. So, again, getting back to your Rockets comment, and I haven't really looked to see how the reaction's been from the people. But to me, like I said, there's just different people back and forth have their own perception. But nationally, the one thing that I would say about when you were talking about what's the national perception, have the Rockets surpass the Warriors in hate and vitriol, what I will say is, unlike last year when the Rockets won 65 games, set a franchise record, had the best record in the league,
right.
And everybody said it was the Rockets or bust. This year when you look at LeBron being out of the East, you thought, well, the East is going to be even easier. But it's not. Now because of the competitive nature of the top four teams. Now because you look across the ledger and you say, there's a Milwaukee. There's a Philly playing well now. There's a Toronto that played well all year. And there's a Boston team that everybody agrees, if they just get their crap together, have enough talent, one through 10, can play with anybody. So you know it's not just Rockets or bust in terms of teams that can beat the Warriors. And then you take it a step further and go, and of all those teams, is there any team besides Boston that the rest of the country wouldn't go underdog, small market city, Cinderella story, Giannis in one, trying to keep Kawhi in Toronto in another, and the process pays off in another, where you go, those three teams alone, you can see everybody going, easy to market, easy to promote, and easy to root for.
You know, I hadn't factored that in a sense that as much as the Rockets were the team that we thought were going to do it, if anybody was going to do it, it's also a scenario that the Warriors, with Durant, what they have right now, have never looked as vulnerable as they have looked at any other time with Durant on that team. Because they just, well, this is the exception of last year. But even then, it's like two games to the Clippers, like, that seems a lot worse to me than the Rockets pushing you last year to seven.
But it humanizes a team that didn't seem that they were human in terms of the Warriors. Well, if that makes sense.
Maybe it gives you a what's next with them. Okay.
Right, because everybody's going, is this the swan song? Is KD leaving? And here's the other thing I'll ask you about is, KD was, and Nick and Barry and I have had this conversation because I firmly believe this, KD was the darling of the NBA because he didn't do what LeBron did when he was in Oklahoma City.
Correct.
He was the guy that everybody couldn't help but like, because whether you thought his ability was fantastic or not, good guy, seems like he was always caring about, and all of a sudden he goes to Golden State where he becomes enemy number one because he was the second guy to jump ship.
Well, then he found out he was fake.
He was the second guy to create a super team.
Yeah.
He was the second guy to basically go and say, hey, it's all about me and individual awards and all these other things. And now
my legacy.
When you look at it overall, you're thinking, you know what? Here's a guy that's going to probably skip town at the end of the year because, as I said, whether he goes to New York or he goes to the Clippers, if he gets credit for being the man in resurrecting a lesser franchise, he can get that shine back on his reputation as opposed to.
No doubt.
If you took James and put him in any other market, would he be any less hated? I don't think so.
Probably not. Probably not.
Because it's the style of play.
Yeah.
Because people still think he's cheating. You hear the word cheating. I don't get that. As long as the calls are being made, as long as he knows the system and he's staying within the rules, how is that cheating? But you hear it across experts and otherwise across the country.
How do the Rockets get this done? How do they get back into this series? Because you and I both agree, if this goes 3-0, it's going over. It's probably going four.
They're going to fold up their tents and go home. From a Rockets standpoint, the way they get it done is they got to take it to the Warriors instead of taking and reacting to what the Warriors bring to them.
You're going to get a few more foul calls at home. That's just how the NBA
Absolutely.
Works.
Absolutely. The crowd is going to play a factor. So early
Correct.
On, you would expect. Big thing is they got to get off to a hot start right from the jump at home because momentum will be on your side. But then they're going to endure the storm because, you know, the Warriors are going to come back. And then it's. If they're making their shots, you need to equal them in terms of guys that can make shots. Gordon has got to stay hot and make shots and get you 20-plus.
Yep.
And then it's energy. It's going to come down to hustle points, rebounds, offensive rebounds, things that they haven't been getting and they haven't been close. They've got to get – I've said it from the get-go. I've heard that the Rockets don't want to play for Reed. That's your energy guy that can be it can be to where it's contagious and other guys pick up on it. Nene's just too big and too slow to be that guy.
Do not tell me that someone is unplayable when Portland can run Cantor out there for long stretches. And he is a huge negative on the defensive side of the basketball.
No question about it.
So don't tell me somebody's unplayable or act like someone's unplayable when Enes Kanter can get all that run. Really good on offense, don't get me wrong. But on defense, that guy's a huge liability, and he even accepts the jokes when you make the jokes at his expense about, oh, you can't play Kanter. You know, he tweets out the other day, you can play Kanter, and they move on.
You've got the manimal out there saying unleash the manimal, basically pleading for an opportunity to make a difference. And you know that Kevin Durant has such a sizable, literally a sizable advantage over anybody they throw at him, and Capella has just been in quicksand. Then why not put a lineup together
especially
with Fareed and P.J. Tucker and go, they still can be big in the low post on defense, but offensively they could run circles around what the Warriors
especially
are doing.
With the struggles that Clint has had in this series.
No question.
Especially with how do you not get Fareed some minutes? And look, maybe the couple of days off, that helps a ton. It lets you practice a little bit, try something, get somebody in a rhythm, what works, what's not working. And you got to nail tomorrow night, though. Like, if you don't nail tomorrow night, just 1-2-3 Cancun on Monday.
Yeah, and to your point, text message said, not a Houston native, lived here 7 years, and root hard for all the local teams. I root for the Rockets in spite of James. He's the most unlikable player in the league besides Draymond. I will tell you that the name that everybody that I polled came up with, aside from James Harden, as the guy that on the opposing teams in the league that they hate, is Blake Griffin. So maybe now Draymond is kind of sliding into the mix, to your point about surpassing the Warriors.
I wonder if Blake playing through the knee injury has kind of pumped him up a little
bit. And he's now in a tough market
to
win in, so they're rooting for him
and
a little bit
more. You don't see him that much.
Interesting.
Draymond is. Can we talk about Draymond and Chris Paul? Because they have a lot more in common than you would think.
All right, after the break, we'll talk about that. Before we get to the break, I want to tell you, we're talking about traveling. We're talking about all over the country, all these different cities. Well, if you like to travel, whether it be for business or pleasure, I got a suggestion for you. Go to besthotelrates.com, because right now when you're booking your travel, you're probably paying way too much for whatever you're paying to get hotel rooms. Now there's one website that does it all for you with relationships with over 600,000 hotels worldwide. And they all do it with you in mind, because they pass the savings on to you by getting these discounts that they've already negotiated. All you got to do is go to besthotelrates.com. You plug in your destination, your dates of travel, and boom, just like that, you are looking at discounted rates for many of the hotels that you were considering paying more for anyways. They do the work so you can reap the benefits. You save your money, you book your hotels through besthotelrates.com. Check them out and make sure you do it often if you travel. It's besthotelrates.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Cypress Trail Hideout, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
On The Usual Suspects, always appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be on this FEF Friday in the big city and in the outlying areas. When I say outlying areas, if you're out and about in the Cypress area, we'd love to see you. Cypress Trails Hideout, 25610 Hempstead Road. It is a fantastic inside-outside environment. Obviously, weather not conducive to a whole lot outside, but there are people on the deck. But come on inside where there is just nothing but great eats and cool beverage treats. All weekend long, they got a bunch of stuff going on, and you should be here. Cody Stutes here for Barry, by the way. I want to mention that as well. But if you come out today, we're going to be here till 4. Blitz is going to be here till 7. So you can come in, hang out with us, sample all the fantastic food and beverage. And then Saturday and Sunday, lots of events going on. Two bands on Saturday, crawfish boil on the patio all day, mud bugs, and a bunch of partying people all the way till close from 2 o'clock. Stop by for that. Sunday, Cinco de Mayo, they're going to have Mexican beer and margarita specials all day. Prizes for a queso cook-off, and it's free to enter. All you got to do is just bring your crock pot and whatever your cooking skills are, and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. So whatever you need to do, stop on by. Cypress Trail Hideout. My man Pat, who I've known for years, has set up a fantastic environment out here. So come on by.
He set us up, too.
Yes, he did. He brought the grub out. He promised, and it's here, and it looks fantastic. You're going to grab some sausage, aren't you? You had too much of your power cord in your hand, and now you're just going to grab your sausage.
I am going to grab the sausage.
I bet you are. The boudin.
Sausage, and the sausage. Boudin, creamed corn.
I have no doubt that my local barbecue expert next to me on the other side, Tyler, will be indulging in all this as well, too.
I know there's a lot of folks that do the talk about the food at the station. Mm-hmm. The fact that Tyler, Lance, and AJ don't do like a barbecue something with the station is a little disappointing. I mean, I don't want to put a bunch of work on everybody's plate, but you know.
Tyler, you know we got the whiskey podcast. You could do the barbecue podcast.
Yeah. Rope Eric Sandler in on it on some stuff.
Well, then you better not have samples.
I feel like I would be encroaching on his territory right there.
Yeah, but he does all food. Like, he does fancy
people
food.
Get the Godfather's blessing. Maybe you don't have to even kiss the ring.
But then once you get AJ involved, because AJ wants Eric Sandler's job.
Oh, at least he hides it.
Yeah.
Not.
But once AJ starts doing that, if we were to do a barbecue-specific one.
What if it takes off, and then all of a sudden he's the barbecue expert?
Now we got, like, two guys.
That's true.
You know?
That's fair. That's fair.
Well, I don't know. We'll just keep it
to ourselves, then.
I think if you go get – it's kind of like the Rockets. If you go proactive instead of reactive, instead of worrying about how he's going to react, go to him ahead of time and say, Eric, I know you got a lot on your plate, literally and figuratively, and you got a lot going on. Why don't – We had this idea. As long as you're cool with it, we were thinking about doing this. And I think more times than not, he'd be like, yeah, sure. I think you guys should go with it and give it a shot. I think it would go over well.
Yeah.
It's a good call. Cody, you're executive producer / marketing idea guy. So there you go.
I'm full of ideas. How many of them pay off?
Speaking of ideas, you brought it out there, so you might as well elaborate for the peeps. You were talking about Draymond and Chris Paul.
So this is really interesting because it's a weird comparison in that Chris Paul's talent and how essential he is to the Rockets' success is really high, and Draymond is close, okay? Some people who cover the Warriors would tell you he's more important than Klay. I would find that laughable.
Oh, boy.
Okay? But
that might be a stretch.
Draymond's close. The thing that Draymond beats Chris Paul at that they both do and is both something that is – very apparent from them when you watch them play basketball is whine and moan and complain. Draymond's on a whole nother level, though. He should be assessed for 20 technical fouls a game, the way he acts. He's so selfish in the way he approaches those things. It is incredible to watch that the NBA officiating has to put up with him. But as Chris Paul's level of play starts to decrease...
Starts to? Already has.
Continues to decrease?
Continues to. There you go.
As Chris Paul's level of play continues to decrease, it becomes more and more apparent that he treats the refs like crap, too.
Look,
it's not as run halfway across the
court. Nothing's going to come close to Draymond, because when you talk about it, even Stephen A. Smith nationally has talked about with his NBA contacts, the Warriors have taken it to another level in terms of the disrespect in the way they treat the officials.
Correct.
But I'm telling you right now, if Chris Paul makes the same contact with an official and there isn't that much controversy around game one, he's suspended without a doubt, whether it was accidental or not. When you make contact like that with a referee, and there were two other cases, if you want to go past precedents, including one with a Warriors player in Sean Livingston, when he hit an official, he was immediately suspended and fined heavily. So they up the fine with Chris Paul. Normally it's 25, it's 35, but then they don't suspend him for a game because the last thing the league wanted to do was to face more and more pressure
scrutiny.
It's fixed. The officials take game one from the Rockets, then they take their second best player away in game two.
Right.
But I don't disagree that Chris Paul has gotten worse with the officials. I just don't think he's ever going to come close to the Draymond level.
And they're on a really weird crash course for being – in the same vein of each other, in that if the Warriors re-sign Draymond, the output that they get will get nowhere near his monetary compensation, which is where the Rockets are with Paul now. And if another team signs Draymond,
that's the bigger thing.
Most of the teams in the NBA would get nowhere near the output for monetary compensation that Draymond is going to request.
Could not agree with more with you, because of the fact that I've said this all along. Clint Capela was more valuable to the Rockets than any other team in the league.
No doubt.
Because with other teams in the league, for the money you paid, especially if they gave him close to max money, you would be expecting offensive production as well as defensive production.
Yep.
The only offensive production you get from a Clint Capela is based on the system. Alley-oops, pick and rolls, moves to the basket, putbacks. So completely agree with the fact that Draymond Green in another system on another team would be expected to do everything he's doing for the Warriors in a triple-double standpoint, but more, and I don't think offensively, we see how bad he can shoot, and when they give him all this room and say, I dare you,
yeah,
it's easy when you're backed up by three of the best players in the world shooting the ball-wise, as opposed to going to a New Orleans Pelicans team where you're like,
Don't get me wrong. Every team in the NBA would love to have a Draymond. They'd love to have Draymond. The dude is a war daddy. In the playoffs, you can have success with that guy. He has a specific role that not a lot of guys can fill. But that role is not a $25 million a year role.
No, at what price? I was going to say. That's where it all comes down to dollars and cents. It's like your Wade Miley argument. Wade Miley is a very inexpensive version of Dallas Keuchel.
Correct.
If you get Draymond Green at a bargain price, you're great. But you know what Draymond and his agent are going to say? I've had to endure the max contracts of others for too many years.
Yeah.
I'm Dallas Keuchel. I want the money in the years that I didn't get with the Warriors, taking less to win more as a team.
Exactly, exactly. And when the moment Draymond signs that giant contract, if he doesn't take a discount to go wherever or to stay with Golden State, it's going to be a point where he is not worth the money.
I agree. Which is
where Chris Paul already is. Like, imagine that. We are year two of the Chris Paul experiment, and this thing is not working long term.
Now, keep in mind, I'm not the I told you so kind of guy, but I will tell you this, that as great as I thought the trade for Chris Paul was, I also said going into free agency this last summer, you had to be smart about the amount of years you give him. I understand there was a handshake deal. You agreed you were going to sign him to a max deal going forward.
Right.
But 2 years would have been great. 3 years, you'd have been like, okay, I'm going to give you the extra year because I do still need you. But when you get into it and you say, hey, I'm going to give you four. If they don't get it done this year and you start paying Chris Paul in the neighborhood of $40 million, you got to pay Harden in the $30 million, you got to play Capela in the $18 million, and you got 1 year left to Gordon at $14 million, unless you get a hell of a buyout market again, which bailed Daryl out.
Yep.
Next year's going to be worse.
The ability to replace talent, they back themselves into a very specific area of navigating the salary cap and how you work in the NBA. And look, the law of averages tells you, even if you go out there and you have a draft pick and you feel really good about the guy, the law of averages, you just hit on Clint Capela. Okay, late first round draft pick. And it took a few years for that to happen. Law of averages tells you that's not coming again anytime soon.
Because you're also trying to give away every one of your draft picks.
Exactly.
Trying to keep these veteran guys in the rotation and on your roster. You're giving away your youth and your future.
We're in a very real situation where if Paul continues to deteriorate at the pace that he's deteriorating, we're going to look back at last year and say, well, that was their one shot and they blew it, or it got blown for them because Chris Paul got hurt. But again, that's something you sign up for when you add Chris Paul to your team, because – he gets hurt. And that's just that's something you deal with when Paul is on your team.
Well, and here's the other thing. When you think about all that you just said, no one as a Rockets fan would have believed after setting a franchise record with 65 wins, being the number one seed, and if you listen to the undertone, they were a hamstring away from winning it all. No one would have thought your window is one more year, and then you are donezo while you try and rebuild on the fly around James Harden. No one would have even thought that that was even in the realm of possibilities. And now it's reality smacking you in the face based on how this series is going and knowing your cap constraints going forward.
And we don't operate, if I'm the Rockets, I have to be a little worried because you don't operate in the NBA where teams just eat your bad contract anymore. That doesn't happen anymore.
There's no Cavaliers or you know, or Sacramento Kings out there like there used to be for Daryl.
Especially if this thing opens up and you don't have a bunch of super teams and you got a bunch of really good teams, there's going to be teams that are far less likely to just eat your big contracts. So you're stuck with it. So it comes back to this weekend. It comes back to tomorrow night. Make it work. Make it happen. And make something go right for you in this series and see what you can get out of it. Because you know, windows, things, like it's closing, and it's closing a lot quicker than you wanted it to.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, again, you know, all the eternal optimism that came with the trade and then the results of last year, they're now being shadowed by doubt and a lot of worry and concern about going forward if this team isn't able to get over the hump this year against the Warriors.
Yeah.
When will they have the roster to compete with them again, regardless of whether KD stays or goes?
Right, and you know what? God forbid somebody else get really good in the Western Conference.
Like the Clippers, who have tons of money for two max players and already proved without those two max players,
yeah,
we're formidable for the Warriors.
Exactly. Like, what if the Clippers get really good and the Warriors stay good? Now, that may only last for a year or so because then Draymond's going to move on and can they replace him and yada, yada. But still, like, Portland doesn't seem like they're going anywhere. They're going to be annoying to
Well, they're locked into two big-time contracts
sure.
with two guys that play basically the same position.
Sure.
And you need Nurkic to be healthy, which after that injury, you don't know.
Denver's, I guess, a better example.
Denver's a good up-and-coming young prototypical team.
What if Jokic got serious about being in shape?
No doubt about it.
He's doughy. Like, I'm a fat guy.
I've said that on the air. Like, you look at him and you go, this guy's amazing, and can you imagine if he was, like, really yoked out?
He needs to call Kevin Love, find out what Kevin Love did, and then do that. Because Love went from doughy, like,
good point.
Doughy, drunk-looking frat boy to, like, model.
It's a very good point. Speaking of good points, if you guys have points to make and you want to get involved, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Of course, you want to reach out directly via Twitter. It's at @Cody_Stutes, @TheProducerNick, and @PacManJoel with a K. We still got a little over an hour to go. We're going to continue to roll. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Jump around. Jump around.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Cypress Trail Hideout, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Heard the voice from above. It wasn't God, but it was close to it because he was telling you Cypress Trail Hideout. That's where we are. That's where you should be. And you should be here all weekend long. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz is going to be here till 7. Stop by, see us, see Fred, AJ, Aaron. We've already got Cody out here and Tyler. Stop by and check out our promo team. Lots of giveaways and fun. But again, it's because of the food, the beverage, and the fun that you can have out here off of Hempstead Road. Stop by and make sure for the weekend, if you don't have plans, you come on out here because Saturday they're going to have their first annual crawfish boil on the patio, live music. Everything's going to get underway about 2 o'clock, two bands. They're going to take you all the way as long as they can go with crawfish eating contest at 6 o'clock with prizes and all kinds of gift certificates. Then Sunday for Cinco de Mayo, spend your entire day here, margarita specials, Mexican beer, and then a make and bring your own queso crock pot competition. Free to enter and prizes to be won. Check it out because that should be a great weekend of fun right out here as you spend the weekend at the Cypress Trail Hideabout. And Papa Charlie's Barbecue, fan-frickin-tastic.
Mm.
You guys try the ribs? Pork or beef? Pork ribs. Good?
That's next for me.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't tried them yet. But the brisket and the turkey, fantastic.
The corn is great.
You're
almost like
a
dessert.
We've had this discussion before. You are almost an over-the-top corn guy.
Really?
Corn kind of stuff. Like even at Thanksgiving, you bring mom's corn.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The fried corn casserole.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're a corn guy.
I do like corn.
I don't know if you like the cob or not, but at least we know you like the corn.
Oh, corn on the cob's great.
Okay.
It's like the best way to make it is to parboil it in a little buttered water and then grill it.
Are you okay with all this, Tyler? Okay.
But if you don't have the grill and you just parboil it and just let it finish boiling, still very good. You got to put butter in the water, though. You can't just boil it in regular water. It's for amateurs.
Okay.
Do like a little corn in the crawfish, too, though. That's good, too. Especially get a little spicy.
Okay. I'm not a crawfish person.
Well.
I'm just letting you know.
You're missing out.
Too much work and just I had a bad experience once breaking out in hives with crawfish, so not a crawfish kind of guy that way. But
maybe not by choice, you know.
That's right. Like, there might be other factors
mitigating
that get
factors.
Involved. Right. But at the same time, okay. Text messages, appreciating the NBA talk, loving that, so that's good. I haven't checked Twitter lately, but I know that people are chiming in. Clarence calling me out because he heard me smacking like Lance on the brisket. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. We were
careful, smacking like Lance.
Waiting.
About six kids.
I didn't say it like that. Okay, but anyway, yeah. Snacks, one of his kids, as a matter of fact. But sometimes when we're waiting on the snacks and you can't wait for them to get here, when they do, you gotta indulge no matter what the time is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tyler, you, by the way, getting hammered by the management here, and I think unjustly so, and rarely do I stick up for you like this, but holy cow, they're looping you in as being this, like, food monger of all-day varieties, and all I saw you have was a little queso.
They're treating you like I would expect me to be treated.
I was surprised by that. He was coming at you 100 miles an hour. So, okay. But
I don't want to turn my mic on because I'm still chewing, but yeah.
Yeah, Lance,
that was a little,
easy.
That was rough.
Yeah.
He got you a little bit.
He
dinged you a little bit.
You can't clap back.
Yeah.
Because he's the sponsor. So.
Yeah.
That makes it a little difficult.
I got
Tosh, I don't know that anybody said this was for you guys.
Mm.
The marketing team just, like, this is not like a free-for-all. It's not a buffet line. Let's put it that way. But we are getting close to having two in the books, 1 hour still to go, but plenty more of the show if you want to get involved. Lots of stuff to still cover.
How do you recover if you're the Raptors?
Oh, I think they're fine. But I think that what I've said all along, and look, I've known Kyle a long time, but I can't defend him. I mean, we started even the playoffs with me and Barry having a discussion where I said, for all the people that are critical of James Harden, you got to be critical of Kyle Lowry. If you're getting $30-plus million a year and you're averaging 9-9, it's not good enough. And as the games get bigger, the lights get brighter, you're expecting your best players to get better, and we haven't seen that from Kyle Lowry. Again, last night, you got what you needed to get out of Siakam. You got more than what you needed to get out of Kawhi. Kyle, again, was a distant no-show.
The thing is maybe it's even with Lowry and him being under the microscope and things like that, but how do you change the culture of that organization that is now playoff failure?
Now, I said it, first of all, they're not done with this series.
True.
And all they got to do, all they got to do is get one. If they bounce back and get one in Philly, you got home court back.
Yep.
And you've got the team to take care of business, because that's a hell of a home court in Toronto. But here's the thing. I said this before the playoffs started. Charles echoed it a week ago, but I fully believe it. This is a monumental season for the Raptors, because they already went out and made a move that they never thought they had to do by trading a franchise guy like DeRozan, by firing a coach that's coach of the year in Dwayne Casey, right, to restart. But you realize if you don't go deep enough in the playoffs this year, everything you did to go get Kawhi Leonard goes away. He goes somewhere else. You're stuck under Kyle Lowry's contract, who no one wants based on how he's played. And now you got to rebuild around a guy that's really not the superstar you thought he was, with cap issues and not many people that want to go up there and play in the East, in the cold, in Toronto, no matter how good of a city it is.
It's a really rough culture situation that they're in, and like failure, and now Kawhi might leave, and it's like, oh man, everything's getting really dicey for the Raptors.
It's a must-win series and more for the Raptors if they want to salvage the franchise going forward in a positive way. All right, we got two in the books. We got an hour still to go. Plenty more of the show. Don't go anywhere. We appreciate you being suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.